Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name's Joe Kuzma, and I'm joined here by my colleague, my good pal, my friend, the one and only Mr. Brian E. Roach. Mr. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I was told through the comments that I can't pull off the mohawk because I'm old, so I trimmed it. That's not actually why I trimmed it. I trimmed it because it got too long.
Oh, okay. Well, I have that same problem. Actually, if I took my hat off, I haven't taken the razor to my head for a few days, so I'm actually getting like a shadow up here. You might be able to see it a little bit. Turn that way, camera one, camera two. You could see a little bit growing in there, you know? So, hey, I'm not 100% bald, you know? I don't have the alopecia thing going, you know, the Ryan Shazier or whatever thing going. So, although that would make life a little easier, I'm sure. But it is genetic, and, you know, God bless you, man. If you could rock a mohawk, go for it. Age is just a number, dude.
Trust me, nothing will stop me from doing it if I choose to.
Well, we're entering the dark period of NFL news. Free agency, well past, gone, rearview mirror, can't even see it anymore. NFL draft headed that direction. I know you and I haven't talked about the full draft class. I haven't gotten your opinions, but through the course of the next few weeks, I'm sure I will. So we're going to focus on one part just because it's a little bit of somewhat recent breaking news in the fact that Najee Harris in his fifth-year option was not exercised by the Pittsburgh Steelers, their front office, Omar Khan, et cetera, et cetera. So he's entering now the final year of his four-year rookie deal. And that's kind of about the only headline we have. And at the same time, we could take a look at the rest of the running back room because this is something that was not looked at in free agency or as part of the NFL draft. So it kind of looks like the Steelers were maybe going to exercise this option for Najee Harris. And as most folks don't know, the fifth-year option is something that can only be applied to players that were originally a first-round draft pick. Now, it doesn't have to be that they don't have to be with the original team that had drafted them. For example, right, the Steelers could have exercised the option for a fifth year on Justin Fields. He's in the same out of the same 2021 draft class as Najee Harris was, but carrying a very large price tag. It's very similar. It's not the same, but it's similar in thought to a franchise tag, because it's on a certain sliding scale that's comparative with other players at the position.
Yeah.
It extends and locks down this player for another year, and the money becomes fully guaranteed. Now, in the case of Justin Fields, I think we were originally saying 22. I've seen people estimate that figure up to $26 million on a fifth-year option. That just was not going to happen for someone that's a backup quarterback. However, Najee Harris was somewhere in the ballpark of like $6.5 million. So a lot of people thought this was something that could or would be done. And I think it was surprising that it wasn't. And now everyone's questioning, asking why. Is this the end of Najee Harris? And we're here to say, man, just, you know, cool your jets here, folks.
Yeah, look, speculation is speculation, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know why they didn't choose to do it, but, you know, Najee has been very vocal along with Saquon and many of the other running backs about devalued running backs. It's not outside the realm of possibility. He said, I'd prefer you don't do that because I would rather, you know, see what I do this year and then get you to pay me. Who knows? You know, there's a variety of reasons that it could not have been done. They could be trying to work out an extension that doesn't involve that, right, to keep him here longer. There's a variety of things that could happen. We simply don't know the answers to that. I was not stunned that they didn't pick it up for the simple reason, as I said, he's been very vocal about running back devaluation. He's been active socially about that. And it really wouldn't have surprised me if he said, I'd really, really, really rather you didn't do that. And the Steelers just had planned to do it and said, all right, we won't do that. Instead, we'll work with you to try and work something out. It won't surprise me if that's what comes out of this.
Yeah, and I don't think the guaranteed money hitting the cap, I don't think any of that would be a major concern With, you know, it's not like they got a lot of money tied into other positions just currently, especially when you're looking ahead into next season and you're talking $6.5 million. I mean, it's kind of chump change. But as you've mentioned, he's been very vocal about the running back position being devalued to the point where I had already speculated weeks and months ago that he's going to probably sit in during training camp. And that may have happened even with the option. Then you've got 2 years of this noise. There's a lot of ways to approach this, and we're going to jump around like a little bit, but it's like, okay, number one, this doesn't mean it's the end of Najee Harris. Now,
does not.
Jerry Dulac, he's here for another year, okay? Jerry Dulac came out and he said that the team wants to evaluate this next season with a new offensive coordinator with Arthur Smith. Fair enough. The money's guaranteed as soon as they make this decision last week for next year. So if Najee gets hurt, career-ending injury, that money's on deck right there. It's kind of a tough pill to swallow a year in advance. This isn't like the franchise tag. I think that's where you get a lot of confusion is that this is a year in advance. This is for 2025. You have to make that decision now. Whereas the franchise tag deal, that happens, you know, back in March, you have up to a deadline before free agency. And then you have like after you've elected to place a tender on a player, franchise, transition tag, whatever the other one. Well, there's exclusive rights and then non-exclusive for the franchise tag and then the transition right. So you go and you exercise those, and then you have up until like June something coming up. There'll be another deadline of which you can extend, or that player must absolutely play. So we're going to hear a lot about like T. Higgins, for example, guys who haven't signed their franchise tag yet, whether or not they'll rip that up, they'll make an extension on that, whether they just sign it, play on it, never sign it, never show up, like Le'Veon Bell years ago. He did show up for one, but skipped out all the training camp. He didn't show up on the other. So these players, and very much so, you know, Bell is the one that hits home closest with us because devaluing the running back position, he wanted to reset the market. Well, you know, he got paid and then disappeared.
Didn't work out that well.
Yeah, and other guys have gotten that second contract and have just, you know, after they sign it, the ink dries, poof, you know?
I actually think that Le'Veon did more harm to the running back position with his antics than he did good. Simply because after he got paid by the Jets, you know, it was like, well, why did we do that? Right. I mean, he completely underperformed for the remainder of the time he was in the NFL. And whether that's because he got lazy, he got a little heavy, he got slow, who knows what the actual reason is. Maybe, you know, injuries caught up with him because he had been hurt. But had he just kept playing, maybe that's not what happens.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, we talked about it. The Steelers, back in the day, we talked about the fact the Steelers actually offered him a better contract than the one he got from the Jets before he held out. He didn't want it. He was like, no, I'm going to do better than that. Turns out, no, you're not. You know, and I do think that teams look back on that now and go, well, you know, regardless of whether it's fair, unfair, you know, there is absolutely a view that running backs can be had pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, well, and that's part of this too that we'll end up coming. In fact, talking about finding him anywhere, Harris is looking right over his shoulder at somebody on the depth chart that they found as an undrafted free agent with Jaylen Warren.
Yep.
So, who could be the future? And it could be very much, Brian. Like, I'm almost thinking of this like Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown a decade ago, and Mike Wallace entering the final year of his contract before he had this fifth year option stuff, sits out of camp. Make some noise, and you've got this young buck in Antonio Brown who hasn't, like, he's shown promise, but he hasn't put up eye-popping numbers just yet, right? And guess who gets the long-term deal for, it's big money, but it's not the biggest sum of money, you know what I mean? I think at the time it was like 5 years, 50-some million. It's hard to believe, 50-some million, 45 million, whatever it was, that you aren't getting, you know, wide receiver ones at that money anymore. That's like a two-year contract. But if Najee's looking, and yes, he's been vocal, he's been out on Twitter, like anytime somebody else signs a deal, he makes a comment. And Omar Khan is sitting in the office next to Kevin Colbert. He's the number crunching guy when all of this went down. And he's got to have some flashbacks to this because Le'Veon comes in 2013, plays all the way to 2017 with the team, 1 year under the franchise tag. And then he had the contract dispute, did not come back in 2018. And then they just let it go. And he goes over to play with the Jets, has one year, plays 15 games, 789 yards and three touchdowns, 3.2 yards a carry. And he is just gone. Because then after that, he plays with the Jets for a couple games, goes to Kansas City, doesn't really stick there, bounces around a little bit, Baltimore, Tampa, and he's done. And except for he wanted to come back yet again. But at this point, he was about 30 years old back in 2022. That's it. There's a shelf life on NFL running backs. And Najee was like kind of like a bell cow his rookie year. And then they went ahead and they got Jalen Warren, and then they started to integrate Warren a little more, and especially so last year, a 1-2 punch. Now that does one of two things. Now the Steelers are more of a committee, right? They're not just a team that's you've seen some other committees and you've seen some guys that got paid. Ezekiel Elliott, for example, and then boom, Tony Pollard, and now out the door. It seems to be a luxury because some other teams, they find a way, you know. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns had Nick Chubb, and then they had Kareem Hunt for a little bit. But for the most part, you look at Baltimore and the Ravens, I know they probably wanted J.K. Dobbins there, and he couldn't stay healthy, but you've had, like, Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and trying to think of Mitchell's first name. And it's just a revolving door of guys. And there's very few, if you play fantasy football, for example, how many running backs can you take comfortably early, like when you're selecting? There was like Austin Eckler, who, you know,
I don't know the answer to that
question. I know you don't know the answer to that question because you don't play enough, but this is like, you can even say Christian McCaffrey when he first got his contract, his second contract with Carolina, it was like, uh-oh, here's another one, just fell off a cliff. Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley. There's numerous examples of this happening around the league, whereas now teams get criticized if they take someone in the first round because you got like an Isaac Pacheco that comes out of nowhere versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire out in Kansas City. I mean, it's just, are you going to pay big money at this position, or are you going to keep a little bit in your wallet and explore other options?
When was the first running back taken this year?
Oh, good question. Let me find that and get back to you.
And I'll tell you, you know, the reason is I'm pretty positive it wasn't the first round.
No, sir.
And, you know, that was an ongoing storyline for years. Is a running back going to go in the first round? And, you know, every now and then one creeps in, but for the most part, no. It's simply not the premium position that it once was, regardless of whether you want to be a bully boy running team or not, right? With the right O-line, you can make a less accomplished running back better. With the right mix of offense, you can make a less accomplished running back better. It is not necessary to have the guy. Derrick Henry is probably one of the rare occasions where he has continued to perform, right, through the years. For the most part, running backs do tend to be a one contract and done kind of group. And there is we talk about the tipping point with receivers being at 30,
mm-hmm. but 31.
You don't see a lot of running backs making their way into the 3X age bracket, right? It's not a long-term position, you know, as people keep saying, if your kid's going to play football, make him an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, or a quarterback. Forget the rest of it.
Yeah. Those are the guys getting paid, especially if you're a tackle or a left tackle in particular. And then if you play defense, you just get fined. So, Brian, the answer to your question was, and I knew it wasn't in the first round, but I wanted to verify. The Carolina Panthers took Jonathan Brooks out of Texas with pick 46. And then another back didn't end up getting selected until Trey Benson out of Florida State to the Arizona Cardinals at 66. There were three running backs taken in the third round. The other two, Blake Corum from Michigan, went to the Rams 83. And at 88, the Green Bay Packers took Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. There's a whole bunch that ended up going in after that for rounds 4 and 5. Of course, you didn't have like the headliner, but that's where teams have been. Cowboys, they were criticized for taking Zeke as high as they did. Giants taking Saquon Barkley, and you look at like what these guys were able to do, like Barkley in particular, behind a poor offensive line, no quarterbacking, stuff like that. And now he's gone because, like, well, I think their front office has just been a mess, and they've had a bad rash of drafts luck too with injuries and stuff. I feel bad for the Giants because they have like a legacy like the Steelers, and a lot of that Rooney's and Mara's run side by side, but whew, they have been bad. Like, you talk about mediocre folks and you want to bitch and complain about Mike Tomlin's Steelers, how they handle things. Be lucky you're not a Giants fan over the last decade plus, right? So
I don't understand why you feel bad for them. Screw them. They're the Giants. I don't care.
Well, I it's not like, you know, I sympathize. Okay. Unlike Cleveland Browns fans, I don't sympathize with the Browns because they just love to be miserable. So I say, let them be miserable. It helps me. It makes me happy that they're miserable. So anyways,
that's exciting.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, you're going to see the same thing with this committee running back thing too. You know, Cincinnati Bengals, for example, who are going to end up trotting out there now. They're saying goodbye, Joe Mixon, stuff like that, right? And you see a lot of this around the league. It's not just the bell cows, but speaking of Le'Veon Bell, that draft, you could go back. That's 2013. That's 10 years ago. He was the second-round pick, and he wasn't the first quarterback or first running back ticket. Was he the third? No, he was the second because Giovanni Bernard went first, I believe, to the Bengals. Then it was Bell. Then it was Eddie Lacy because everyone was pounding their fists. Do you want Monty Ball, Eddie Lacy, or Le'Veon Bell? And Bernard ended up being the first guy, I think. But they were, you know, deep. They were, you know, pick 60-plus if we went back into that draft. So, yeah, devalued. You've seen it. Bishop Sankey, his name came up as one of the latest that ended up being drafted. Now, Najee, a first-round pick. Travis Etienne, first-round pick. Etienne ended up losing his first year due to injury. So it's hard to make those type of comparisons. Did they get the right back? Did they not? I think both guys have done well considering their situation. And I think that's where you put the question mark on. Do you want to put all your eggs into the fifth-year option basket right now, or do you want to just try and extend or sign Najee later on? Because now you don't have the excuse of quarterback, hey, an aging Ben Roethlisberger, or a young Kenny Pickett, or a washed-up Mitchell Trubisky, or now you've got maybe Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, right? You've redone the quarterback room. You can't blame offensive line if Najee is not good this year anymore either. Yeah, they got Sam Mallow. They had Daniels before, but now you got all these other dudes. You got Broderick Jones. You've got Troy Fontenot. Or Fatanu. I'm sorry. I'm still getting used to saying it.
Fatanu.
Still getting used to saying it because I said it so much during the draft time, I said it wrong. And then who's the other one?
Zach Frazier.
Yeah. And then maybe Mason McCormick in the future too. So you're loading up there too, right? And you've got a new offensive coordinator, so now you can't place the blame on Matt Canada. Now, Najee is able to get 1,000 yards in each of his last three seasons, 1,200 his rookie year, 1034 and 1035, you know, a yard apart in each of the last two. Seven touchdowns and eight in the first two seasons, eight in his last, so he has 22 total. His yards per carry, average career, 3.9. It was 3.9, 3.8, and 4.1. Those are the numbers that aren't so good. He caught a lot of balls when Ben was throwing a lot of stuff, not being able to find people in that last year, and then maybe not so much involved as Jaylen Warren became kind of that third down back in a lot of situations. Maybe the better blocker, maybe the better guy to have a little scoot, run and catch, a little pitch and catch. So, but he can be an all-purpose back, and I don't want to devalue necessarily that he got 1,000 yards, but he's also done it since the league instituted a 17-game season, which makes things a little bit more difficult for that argument of being like, hey, he's the first guy in like Steelers history or whatever to have three straight beginning his career 1,000-yard seasons or whatnot, right? So there's good and there's bad. It's just hard to see where the glass is half full and the glass is half empty.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be real clear. I like Najee. I think he brings a lot to the table from leadership, you know, from professionalism, just from the way he goes about doing his job. He does not appear to be diva-ing it up the way some running backs have done in the past. So, I mean, I have respect for Najee, but like, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. I was like, just because you want something, you don't get to have it, right? We all have the right to have dreams and hopes. We don't have the right to have them come true, right? You know, it is up to us to make those kind of determinations. So I actually think that the situation that the Steelers find themselves in, you know, if they did, because they didn't exercise that option, If Najee has a breakout year this year, if all that was limiting him were those things that you've discussed, and he pops off for 1,800 yards this year, right? And, you know, the duo of him and Jaylen Warren, both are 1,000-yard backs, and we're like, holy crap, what a running game we have, right? They're not going to get him for $6 million in the following season. Now, they may franchise tag him, right, for year five and pay a considerable amount more than the $6 million that they were going to have to pay if they did the fifth-year option. But it'll have been warranted at that point, right? Right now, the question really is Najee going to be the guy that they want to continue on with? And they, you know, they've set the offense up to find that out.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the other second-year contract guys and maybe even going into, like, Jonathan Taylor's kind of a TBD. It's funny, I'm looking at, like, the highest-paid guys, and there's cap number. I wish it did a more average per year, but the cap number for Alvin Kamara right now, 18.5. Yikes.
Ouch.
I know. Christian McCaffrey, 14.1. But Christian McCaffrey has now worked out, and I think he works in that San Francisco system, and they still split carries. They got guys like Elijah Mitchell that are out there. So, but you make a good point. Like, where is the cutoff here? Jonathan Taylor's the other guy in 2024 with the cap number above 10 million. He's at 10.6, and it goes down to Connor at 8.9. Miles Sanders, 7.6. David Montgomery, Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was just recently reworked. DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, Jamal Williams, Samaje Perine, and then Najee Harris is actually up here still on the rookie contract with 4.1, as is Travis Etienne. So Jahmyr Gibbs at 4, former first round pick as well. So it's very interesting, and somehow some of this is spread out. I was looking to see what Saquon ended up taking in Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry will enter. He is now going to be 30 years old. He just turned 30 in January, and there's a lot of parallels. He had his best seasons with Arthur Smith. As the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, went to Alabama, just like Najee Harris. So there's the hair, the everything. The, you know, there's a lot of similarities and comparisons. You make a good point, though. Let me see. I'm going to look up Saquon real quick. Oh, God, there's a bunch of they had to do a bunch of void years in this contract. Let's see. 3 years, 37.75. So about $38 million, 26 guaranteed. So the quick maths with Joe here, I don't have the graphic available, 12.6 per year. But you make a compelling argument, though. You look at the overall room, which is what we're doing for 2024. We got Najee in there. We like it. We always felt that Najee was the Steelers' pick. There's going to be people that are going to be like, oh, they could have done something different. Get Ben Roethlisberger like a center or whatever. And then who's he hand the ball off to? Because you couldn't trust James Conner. You couldn't bring him back. He was never healthy. He still isn't really that healthy, but he's had different guys like Chase Edwards and stuff that he split time with in Arizona. So he's had a compliment. You couldn't just trot Conner out there full time. You probably won't want to trot Harris out there in a 17 game season all the time, but you make a compelling argument. If he gets 1,000 yards and Warren gets 1,000 yards. Now Warren's going to be entering next year. He's 2 years left on his contract, 2025. And then after he will be a free agent for 2026. Do you end up giving it to the younger guy who's been performing just as well, that was undrafted? You might be able to get cheaper. I don't know. It's a nice argument to have right now with a 1A, 1B. But very clearly, the Steelers have plans for Najee Harris this year, not trading to the Dallas Cowboys, because, look, we're still looking for a wide receiver to land, maybe. Some type of big fish that's going to show up here, right? They can't do this with running back. They're just going to go in with Jaylen Warren and who else? They didn't add any free agents. They didn't look anywhere in the draft. The only guy that they added otherwise that I think is maybe in the category, I mean, you could give some carries to Cordarrelle Patterson, if you want, 34 years old, he might get a few touches here or there, perhaps gadget play. But Dijon Edwards out of Georgia, undrafted, a lot of production, championship caliber teams. That's going to be the guy to look at. And he might even make the 53-man roster. I already did the numbers over at steelcityunderground.com yesterday, a way too early roster prediction. Depends on how many receivers, DBs, and everything else that they keep. They might just throw him out on the practice squad because, face it, like, he didn't get drafted. So what kind of demand does he have unless teams see him do something in preseason or he does something very impressive? Which preseason, you know, is hard to gauge too. And then he gets poached somehow. Otherwise, it is Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren for 2024.
Yeah, I, 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 it's, I don't even know how to elaborate on that.
Well, you know what, Brian? Worst case scenario, one of these guys gets hurt or what, you know, what happens? There's not a lot of depth here. They didn't sign. There's not like a Steven Ridley they tried to sign or a Niall Davis or, you know, I'm trying to think of who, Kalen Ballage, like some of these like after run journeyman guys. There's nobody out there that they went out, sought out. Even the year before, they went and grabbed somebody that was off the Titans. He got hurt. I'm trying to remember, Jeremy McNichols. There hasn't been any kind of addition like that to this team. So there's got to be some forward thinking that not only are these your two guys, but there's no forward planning, you know, as of yet beyond this point. That wait and see might not be that coach speak blowing smoke. That might actually be a real like insider source quote that Jerry got.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be. As you said, there isn't, they don't have 15 backup plans, right? It is, we like both these guys. Let's see how they perform with this revamped system that we have. Let's see what we get. And then we'll make determinations moving forward. I you know, Dijon that you mentioned, I mean, it's somebody that's going to be on the roster in the sense of at camp. Something happens and he's squirreled away on the practice squad. Fine. You've got somebody to pull up, right? But this is the duo that they're going to run with this year. No question about it.
We've been mostly slanting this toward, you know, Najee's going to do good. Najee's going to do well. Oh, is Omar Khan like doing drugs? Are they getting this wrong? Do they lock him down? He might be more expensive. Derrick Henry is averaging 8 per year. He signed a 2-year, $16 million contract, and less than 8 million of that, $9 million is guaranteed. So just a little more than that, and just a little less in a signing bonus. So if it doesn't work out, I mean, that's not really going to handicap the Baltimore Ravens too much. I think the Steelers could afford that. It just depends on, you know, what Najee's thinking. Now, what are the Steelers maybe thinking? We mentioned Jaylen Warren. What if Najee doesn't live up to potential, slow start? You know, we've made excuses for him in the past. Plate in his foot to start a season. Poor offensive line. We don't have to tell you about the, you know, transgressions of Kevin Dotson showing up to camp out of shape, or Dan Moore's woes, or Kendrick Green completely being like a flop. You know what I mean? When somebody on a sidebar here said, hey, you guys, you're being really negative, me and Zach, about whatever. And I forgot what it was, because we picked out like some draft picks have been negative. Trust me, I just don't like being a broken record and trying to repeat the same things over and over on every show. Watch a few others. We usually don't have bad things to say, but it's verifiable fact that Kendrick Green did not work out. And they tried some other things with them, moving him to guard, fullback. None of that worked. And none of that may have been a help for Najee Harris. But what happens if Najee goes out and does the same exact things and has a slow start? Are you going to jump right to the Jaylen Warren bandwagon? I think fans will be very quick to want to jump to that bandwagon in the same way they were with Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett or any other number of players that were out there. And if you're the team, they've kind of done this too. Hot hand type of deal. How hot does the hand get? I'll throw you one more, Brian. What happens if Najee does do the little sit-in thing during training camp? Jaylen Warren's going to get these carries. So's Edwards. Is that going to help Harris's argument going forward and into week one of the season? I don't know.
The only way it helps is if the guys who are getting the carries don't play well.
Yeah. I mean, the only way I can see it, it's not like the Bell situation. They drafted Connor, you know, in 2018, but it's not the same type of Bell situation in 2017 where who are you going to have out there? Did they have D'Angelo still in 2017? I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I don't think so. I think he was gone after the AFC title game.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a whole lot of other options there, and they really did have all their eggs in that basket. But they have somebody to turn to. I think Warren could play every down, and you could spell him with Patterson or insert name. Like you said, there's plenty of guys that have been undrafted backs that have made it in this league or late round picks.
Yeah. Look, it is a different situation. Najee, you know, I can't project what's in his head, right? I can't imagine him doing the sit-in and you know, being that way about this. You know, this is the opportunity to prove you deserve the big money, right? This is the chance to do it. Doing a sit-in, all you're really doing is showing is giving that opportunity to another guy who has shown he has potential, right? It isn't looking at our room and going, everybody in this room stinks. Without me, you're going to go, oh my God. It's just not the same. So, you know, I would anticipate, plus I think it's more in his character. I would anticipate he comes in, you know, assuming that he's healthy and everything is good and he can stay that way throughout training camp, that he's going to come in and just, you know, ball out. I hope he does, right? I'll be ecstatic if the Steelers have to offer him a $36 million 3-year contract at the end of this. And all of a sudden they got him instead of for the $6 million in 1 year, it's 12. I don't care, right? Because it'll mean that he showed that it was worth that. Because they're not going to do it if he comes in and he rushes for, you know, 1,015 yards or something. Even though it'll be, oh yeah, 4 years of 1,000 yards, unless he's blowing the doors off, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, and it's very strange, the 1,000-yard deal, right? Okay, you have Christian McCaffrey, 14 TDs, over 1,400 yards. Derrick Henry had 1,167 last year, a dozen. Kyren Williams with the LA Rams in only 12 games had over 1,100 yards and 12 TDs. Then you got, like, James Cook in Buffalo, 1,100-some yards, just two touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. DeAndre Swift had over 1,000 with the Eagles, 5 touchdowns. James Conner had over 1,000, 7 touchdowns. Then Najee's in here. He's 7th overall in yardage with 1,035. And as you move down this list, let's see who else. Joe Mixon, 1,034, 9 TDs. David Montgomery, 1,015, 13 TDs. Raheem Mostert, this is likely to not be done again. And talk about committees with the Miami Dolphins. He had 18 touchdowns, just a little over 1,000 yards. Travis Etienne, as we mentioned earlier, had 11 touchdowns. So these guys are scoring more. And Tony Pollard, 12th on the list. Last guy to have over 1,000. Then you get into like Breece Hall, Rashad White, Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Isaiah Pacheco, Kenneth Walker, Chuba Hubbard, Devin Singletary, Lamar Jackson. You know, you got running backs that are running around doing more. Jerome Ford in the absence of Nick Chubb, Gus Edwards in the absence of J.K. Dobbins, Josh Jacobs, who was the rushing leader before that, plays 13 games, only ends up with 805 yards. He didn't do a lot for that argument of, hey, this guy had 1,600 yards the year before. He had 2 1,000-yard seasons out of the first three in the league. He was an all-pro and just went, that goes with a lot of the other team being bad, but it's still, it runs back that narrative of your paying top dollar at the position. I don't think anybody's really made a top dollar argument since Adrian Peterson. And we got to go back to like 2012 for that. So Najee's been around the top. I like him as a player. I do wonder about him, though. I feel like he's like a little quirky. He's a little off the beaten path. You see the things with like the Angry Runs awards and stuff that they give out on NFL Network. He doesn't take a photo with it ever, with the Harry Potter stick that they call it, the scepter that they give out as the award. He gave it to the offensive linemen, and I was giving them some credit. And I thought, hey, that was cool. But I also kind of think it's like, I'm like, is he like a Barry Sanders type when it comes to being like a loner and don't put the focus on me kind of thing? Or is he a jerk, or is it somewhere in the middle? You know what I mean? Because you can get some guys. Najee isn't one to go out there and sign during training camp either. You know what I mean? He kind of just walks around, has a hoodie on, doesn't want to make eye contact. I don't know how to gauge him. But it appears, though, he comes out, and he could be outspoken too. Like you said, is it a leader? There's a fine line. We saw this with Ben Roethlisberger in a radio program that he had. That you say something and it's taken the wrong way and rubs people the wrong way. And we've seen Najee say some things. We've seen other guys say some things. Deontay Johnson, and he's out of town. So that could be another reason why they're put the brakes on this fifth-year option. Let's see how this all works in with some new coaches, some other new elements with this team, and see how it all melds and meshes together. I was trying to look through a little bit more. I went back to like 2021's NFL rushing stats just to see some of the top players. And attempts-wise, Najee was second in the league behind Jonathan Taylor during his rookie year. So he got some work in, right? But Jonathan Taylor, by and far, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, and Joe Mixon all gained more yards. Not many teams are trotting these guys out there to be the full be-all, end-all. And, of course, Ezekiel Elliott, that was right after I think he ends up getting paid. Derrick Henry had an off year where he only played in 8 games, ran for 937 yards. There's some guys that you don't even hear of anymore. Like I said, Melvin Gordon, Damian Harris, Sony Michel, Leonard Fournette, AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones in Green Bay, James Robinson when he was down in Jacksonville. I mean, you go back even one more year, and I know this is ancient history now. We're in 2024, so we're, you know, 4 years removed. Dalvin Cook was on top of the world here with the Vikings. And, you know, C'est la vie, he's pretty much gone too. They cut bait without signing him to another contract. Ronald Jones, Kenyon Drake. We mentioned Miles Sanders before, but Kareem Hunt still sitting around there too. It's a very odd position. David Johnson, Arizona Cardinals, a third round pick out of Northern Iowa. You could find the guys, but then it seems like nobody wants to pay them regardless of what their production is. Maybe the Steelers are ahead of the curve here. We don't know. The only thing I could say is like, I'd say take it easy on Najee. I'm speculative about his whole temperament or whatever. On a human level, there's uncertainty to his future too. Because when you're playing,
absolutely,
yeah, when you're playing professional football, you're an injury away from it being all done. It is a physical game. You want to maximize your body to make the most money that's available to you. So if he decides to sit in, all the power to him, go for it. You know what I mean? So, Brian, any other closing thoughts? I was going to look at the rest of the running back chart. I can't even tell you who else is on this.
Doesn't matter.
That's coming to camp for the Steelers.
At this point, it doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't. And it's because I think they feel so comfortable with these two guys. Aaron Shamplin, if I'm saying that. And Jack Coletto is a fullback. I guess we could throw Connor Hayward in here for a second. We're going to talk about him with the tight ends, too. But he could play a little fullback.
Yeah.
Get in there. Mix it up.
You know, I don't know. Shamplin. That's not a starting running back name.
You know, no. Aaron Shamplin. Yeah, you can't even put it on the jersey. Like, he needs, like, a nickname. They need the XFL thing. Yeah. The Harvard running back. So my thought is, there's gotta be somebody else. They gotta pluck maybe UFL now, the UFL. Maybe they're going to wait for that to be done. They do have 90 players, I think, on the roster right now. Let me double check that. I know they were pretty close, to having no other available spots or slots on the roster. But let me see where we at. Yeah, they got like two or three spots here. I have 87 players on the current roster. So they got to have bodies just to run drills at camp. They can't do it with just, you know, Najee's going to take a day off here or there. You're not going to do it with just Warren.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw
Patterson
out there. You're going to have Shamplin and Edwards doing it all. So maybe they'll look to the UFL. As far as available free agents, available in the running back market, I don't know if anybody's going to want to sign to not get very much any playing time, right?
That'd be tough.
Yeah, Damian Harris, like I said, he's still out there. Matt Breida, Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, Brandon Bolden, Jerick McKinnon, Latavius Murray, Dalvin Cook, Marlon Mack, Josh Kelly. That's about it. There's a couple more. Eno Benjamin. Not a lot of any big enticing names that are available out there. So going to have to be another undrafted find somewhere, or maybe somebody from the spring league. So, all right, my friend, I guess that does it. That's a quick look at there's not a lot to talk about with the running backs other than the fifth year option with Najee Harris, because if he would have signed that, all we would be talking about is, look, Jaylen Warren, 784 yards last year on the ground, averaging, why doesn't it have it here? 5.3 per carry, 4.9 his rookie year, and he caught 61 balls for 371 yards. He has 89 receptions for 584 during the duration of his tenure so far with the Steelers. He had 4 rushing touchdowns last year. Looks like he's ascending, and if he continues to ascend, maybe not. Maybe paying $7 or $8 million for Najee Harris isn't going to be the wise business decision for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Brian, thanks for joining me once again, my friend.
Happy to be here.
Yep, no sarcasm today. I'll take that. That was my sarcasm. So, anyways, yeah, I know. We went over a week with our last show, folks. Just some programming notes. The NFL schedule release is due next week. Brian, we might finally go live for that one. I like little raw reactions for that, but we need to know where we're going and when we're doing it. So I'm looking forward to this. It's taking forever. This is in May. There's, you know, there's concerts going on sale. There's all kinds of things, but I'm trying to plan for and plan around. NFL, get the show on the road now already. We know Russell Wilson's got to go back to Denver. When's that going to be? We need to figure that out.
I need to know what games I'm going to miss when I'm in Scotland.
Okay. That'll be an interesting trip. You're going to go during good weather?
I don't know. Apparently never good weather in Scotland. So
the rain, was that in Braveheart? The rain comes down in a slant where they had the quote about that. Yeah. It's pretty good. But all right, my friend. Well, looking forward to the schedule release. We'll keep talking about other positions. I mean, this is about the skimpiest one to talk about out of all of them and how it factors into everything. Steelers could potentially have 2,000-yard backs under Arthur Smith. That would be kind of fascinating. And I'm actually thinking, I wanted to see, like, when Derrick Henry got hurt, who the other bell cow was. Because when Arthur Smith was there 2020, and that would be when he topped over 2,000 yards. Oh, Jeremy McNichols. We mentioned him already. That was the next guy up. So, and they had Donta Foreman, too. And he didn't do a whole lot there. And then it was Foreman again the next year, 566 yards in his stead. And a couple other guys. Dontrell Hilliard did 350. So they almost had 900 yards, almost matched Derrick Henry with two other dudes under Arthur Smith still. Or that wasn't Arthur Smith. That was Todd Downing. I take it back. Arthur Smith was already gone. The Atlanta Falcons. He had 3 years in Atlanta, not two. So my mistake there. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for joining us once again. We don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name's Joe Kuzma, and his name is Brian E. Roach. Till next time, as we always do, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.